Dobrodošli. Hvala da ste prišli. Da niste pošli na hribe. Kakšno, niste šli na hribe. Torej, dve skrivnosti o Krišni. There is one verse that Prabhupada said is the most important verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is famous as the book of wisdom all over the world. There are hundreds and hundreds of translations in different languages. And in this book of 700 verses, Srila Prabhupada, great teacher of the Bhagavad Gita, says that one verse is the most important. So this is especially good verse for today, which comes just shortly after Janmashtami, after the appearance day of Krishna. This verse speaks about two special characteristics. And Krishna says, if you understand these two characteristics, then you can get a meeting with him. You get a personal meeting with Krishna. Krishna says, I will write you in my notebook, in my calendar. Not only I will write you down in my calendar, meeting with you, but you will come to me. If you want, you can stay with me. Just like, imagine that the president of Slovenia announces on his blog or Twitter or whatever, says that anybody who guesses 2 points from my biography or about from my qualities, then not only they can meet me, but they can live in my palace. Or I don't know if he has a palace. But I guess he has at least a good flat, right? So you can be my friend, and you can live in my place. So Krishna makes this announcement in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, if you understand two characteristics, then you will never have to die again and again and again, and you can come to me. So this is this verse on the board. This is fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 9. So I invite you to chant this verse. In Vaishnaviya Tantra Sara, there is a glorification of the Gita, and it says that anybody who studies the Bhagavad Gita, so this is the book that we have here, on Ekadashi, today is Ekadashi, will never be defeated by enemies. So we are studying, and you can check if you are defeated or not. I guess that could be a good tip for boxers and wrestlers. Right? But the problem is only, what if two sides study the Gita on Ekadashi? Bhagavad Gita was spoken on a battlefield, great fight. And we see that one, Arjuna, who studied, he won. Ultimately. And of course, who are the real enemies? Who are your real enemies? We will discuss this also today. Who are our real enemies? And where do they live? So let us chant this verse in Sanskrit. After me, Janma karma cha me divyam, janma karma cha me divyam, evam yoveti tattvataha, evam yoveti tattvataha, tyaktva deham punar janma, tyaktva deham punar janma, naiti mam eti sorjuna, naiti mam eti sorjuna, janma karma cha me divyam, evam yoveti tattvataha, tyaktva deham punarjanma, naiti mam eti sorjuna, naiti mam eti sorjuna. Somebody else would like to chant? Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yoveti tattvataha, tyaktva deham punarjanma, naiti mam eti sorjuna, janma karma cha me divyam, evam yoveti tattvataha. Yakta deham punarjanma, naiti mam eti sorjuna, janma karma cha me divyam, evam yoveti tattvataha. Yakta deham punarjanma, naiti mam eti sorjuna. Somebody from ladies. Janma karma cha me divyam, evam yoveti tattvataha, yaktva deham punarjanma, naiti mam eti sorjuna. Okay, the translation by Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. A very easy path to Krishna's spiritual abode, to the spiritual world, to the spiritual platform. Krishna promises here that all you need to understand is, you have to understand his janma and karma, his birth and activities. And what do we have to understand about Krishna's birth and activities? What would you say? What is the proper understanding of Krishna's birth and activities which leads us to the spiritual platform?
Transcendental.
Transcendental. Okay, this is what Prabhupada is translating here. Tat-tataha. Yes, he never takes birth. Yes, thank you. Okay, he performs his pastimes, his activities, this karma, for attracting us as an invitation for us to go to his abode, to join him in his activities. Would you like to say something? Jani Tagore Prabhu? True understanding. Janma karma. What does it mean?
Understanding.
Yeah, what does it mean to understand Krishna's, truly understand Krishna's birth and activities?
I'll let you know, figure out.
Very humble.
Act,
yeah, we also act accordingly. Yes. So, two secrets: Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities. As Prema Gopi Madhaji said, that one secret of Krishna's birth a very interesting secret about Krishna's birth is that he does not take birth. He is unborn. And in the same vein, in the same way, his activities, a secret about his activities, that there is no activity that Krishna performs like we perform. So his karma is not karma. His activity is not an activity. Or in other words, his activity is a pastime, is a play. It's not that he, and it's not like our play where we want to enjoy. When we play, we want to get some enjoyment. But this is for blessing the whole world. When Krishna took birth 5,000 years ago, it was an amazing story. It's mentioned in Wikipedia in the article about irony. Ironia? Ironia, yeah. If you check Wikipedia article about irony, you will see Krishna's birth mentioned. And what was ironical about Krishna's birth was that Kamsa, the powerful king, demoniac king, who put in prison his own father. In history, there are enough kings who did unpalatable, unattractive things to rule. In India, there is famous King Aurangzeb, who destroyed many temples, and he put his own father in jail, Aurangzeb. And he had brothers. His father was Shah Jahan. So on his father's birthday, he sent his father the head of his brother. So to show that nobody will conquer him. It's history, Aurangzeb. And I was startled when once I was driving in New Delhi and I saw that they have a street named after Aurangzeb. It's like, you know, having a Hitlerstrasse somewhere. Somewhere here. But India is so amazing. You have everything there. So Kamsa was like that. He put his own father in jail. He killed so many people. And when his sister... cousin sister, when his sister Devaki was getting married, he was driving the chariot and the demigods, the denizens of higher planets, who actually approached Krishna to help with the political situation on earth, because there were too many demoniac kings, so they tried to contact the Supreme Lord. They went to the top planet of this universe, Brahmaloka, it's beginning of the 10th canto, and they asked him to come and do something to protect the humanity, to protect inhabitants of Earth. And Krishna said, yes, I will come. So then the demigods, they wanted to fast forward. They knew that Krishna comes as the 8th child of Devaki, but they thought, you know, how long it will take until the 8th child comes. So therefore, let us make it faster. So they sent Narada to Kamsa, and as Kamsa was driving the chariot of his sister and was looking around very proudly, look how good a brother I am. I am driving my sister's chariot. Then a voice boomed from the sky. Kamsa, you are a fool. You know, Kamsa immediately, what? Somebody calls me a fool? Because you are driving the chariot of your sister? But is your death. He will kill you. So Kamsa, what Kamsa does at this moment, he hears this divine voice coming from the demigods, and he immediately takes out the sword, grabs the hair of his sister, and is ready to kill his sister. That's a demon. That's a proper demon, right? If something is in the way, immediately, you know, deal with this. If, you know, just kill. They call it dog eat dog. Yeah, they call it capitalist economy, dog eat dog system. So then Vasudev, Krishna's father and a great devotee, what does he do? He cannot fight with Kamsa. He doesn't jump and try to do a Maigiri or Mawashi or some punch, you know, or take out his sword, because he knows that Kamsa is super powerful. He was able to defeat many most powerful demons. Therefore, he talks to Kamsa and he says that we are relatives and this is your sister. If you kill her, everybody will speak bad about you. And they may not obey you if they see that you are so cruel and nasty. On the wedding day of your sister, you are killing your sister. Just imagine. You know, and besides, you should understand that everything anyway is happening according to our karma. And so he's trying different angles, but he sees Kamsa is still, you know, not killing yet, but he is still angry and not convinced. So then Vasudev says that I promise you that I will give you every child that Devaki gives birth to, so that you don't have to fear her children. And so Kamsa, he heard about bad results that would come from killing his sister, you know, very bad publicity, you know, all the newspapers publish bad reports, you know, bad pictures, you know, not nice. So he decides, okay. Vasudev is so truthful, he trusts, he knows that Vasudev is so truthful that he can trust Vasudev, that Vasudev will actually give him his children, so that he doesn't have to be afraid. And because Vasudev says, there is no danger to you from Devaki. Danger to you is from her children, right? So why get a bad name, such a bad name for yourself for killing innocent woman on her wedding day, who is your sister? So you can kill, no problem. You can kill, but kill those from whom you can actually have some danger. Kill the children. Very logical, right? Kamsa thinks, yes, I can kill the children. So, demoniac mentality. Yeah, why not? Sure. Yeah. And then nobody will accuse me of killing a woman. So, civilized society is protecting the weaker, or protecting those who can use protection. So that means civilized society is protecting old people are protected. It's protecting children. So the more civilized society is, the more care and protection and love is given to children. And the cows, Prabhupada is saying, ladies are protected. Of course, it's getting out of fashion nowadays, yes, like all the other types of protection. And yes, anyway, this is a separate topic. We can talk about this. yeah, it's so funny. Actually, this is, anyway, we will not speak about this. you can ask a question later if you want. We can discuss later. The fifth category that are protected in the civilized society are Brahmanas. Brahmanas are people who are living spiritual life. These are priests, scholars, monks. So these are people who devote themselves to spiritual practice, and they are supported by the society, because by these activities, the whole society is protected. Like, for example, in Varahapurana says that if Krishna's birthday is celebrated, then glorified, then in this country where it is done, there will never be hunger, famine, pests. Contagious rats or something coming, you know. And this country will not be defeated by some enemies, by some inimical states. So just by celebrating Janmashtami, or now just by speaking about Krishna's birth, we are helping Slovenian defense ministry. Maybe somebody can call them and maybe they can sponsor a feast next Janmashtami. Can send them the quote from the Puranas that it's it's helpful for. So this is why brahmanas are supported and ladies are protected. In Manu Samhita it is said that if any place, this is Manu Samhita, any place where women are dissatisfied becomes totally destroyed. A dynasty, family, or a community where women are not happy is destroyed. And yagya is not successful. Any yagya is unsuccessful in such a place if ladies are not happy in that place. And if ladies are happy, they become like expansions of Lakshmi, which bring prosperity to the whole dynasty or family. And, you know, in Vedic or Indian culture, these are large families. You know, so everybody is prospering. So there is a benefit for everybody from protecting this. And so, therefore, Kamsa understood it's very bad publicity. It's, just imagine, it was 5,000 years ago. It was before the modern age of Kali, the age of quarrel and basically the whole history we know. But he didn't think, you know, if I kill children, that's also bad publicity. Anyway, Vasudeva was able to convince him not to kill Devaki. And when they had the first child, a son, then Vasudev took the child and brought it to Kamsa. And Kamsa said, okay, the voice from the sky said, I have danger from the eighth child. So therefore, let him live. We can go back. So Vasudev goes back to his place, but then demoniac ministers of Kamsa tell him, you fool! You don't understand! Krishna doesn't come alone! Lord doesn't come alone! When he comes, you know, so many associates come with him, and this could be one of his associates. Maybe he's a powerful assistant of Krishna. Maybe he will help Krishna to kill you. So better kill him. So this is the bad association. So don't watch too much TV. Because we can get some wrong advice from... Of course, depending on the TV. Maybe, I don't know how Slovenian TV is. Maybe it's very sattvic. Maybe they give very devotional advice. Anyway, so be careful about who you associate with. Be careful where you are taking advices from. So what Kamsa does, he goes and kills the first son of Vasudeva. He said, you can let him live, and then a few hours later he comes and kills a baby, a day-old baby he kills. And the same he does with the second baby, with the third baby, with the fourth baby, with the fifth baby, and with the sixth baby. He kills six babies of Vasudeva. So, a demon, right? A demon. And we know it till today. So till today we speak about what he did. However, he got his name into Wikipedia in the article of irony, because that was a plan of the demigods. By killing these six children, he sped up the appearance of Krishna. He made Krishna's appearance closer. You know, otherwise, maybe there would be longer time between children. But this way, it was very quick. He kills, and then just 7 or 8 years after the marriage, Krishna comes. So the joke's on him. But still, you know, how Krishna can allow that his brothers are killed? If you were God, would you allow your brothers to be killed? You can say, depending which. No, you will not say that. If you were God, we would say, of course, it's my family. Of course, Kamsa, you can see that was also his family, but he didn't care. But Krishna is God, he's kind, he's merciful. How can he allow that six brothers before him are killed by this demon? Can't he do anything he wants? Couldn't he have prevented Kamsa from killing them? Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in Prabhupada's translation, in Bhagavatam 10.2.8, says, who were these six brothers? He says these six brothers were previously proud children of a sage on the higher planets who were laughing at Brahma and who were cursed to become demons. And these six persons were personified kama, lust, lobha, greed, krodha, anger, mada, that's pride, moha, illusion, and matsarya, envy. So actually they were personifications of demoniac qualities. Personifications of demoniac qualities. Actually they would be good assistants for Kamsa. If Kamsa allowed them to take birth, they would be excellent assistants, helpers for Kamsa. So again, irony, the joke's on Kamsa. So Kamsa, by his own actions, creates obstacles for himself. Everything Kamsa does is the opposite of what he wants. That's the principle of demoniac life. They think that they get what they want, but basically they do the opposite. That's demoniac activity. You get the opposite result from what you want. And Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada translates, says that in the same way, when your heart is pure, then this heart is compared to Vasudeva. So Vasudeva is also a person or a symbol, or he's not a symbol, he's a person, but he is the person who personifies pure consciousness, pure heart. What does it mean, pure heart? It's a pure heart where there is no idea, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, and I am the most popular. So this is a pure heart. Means no selfishness. No selfishness. There is only spirit of devotion. And Devaki, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada says, explains, personifies pure heart. So he's pure Vasudeva, pure consciousness, and she's pure personifying pure heart. And of course, we shouldn't think that they did not exist or that this is just allegory. They actually are persons, but these stories are very deep. They have a lot of depth and meaning. So one of the meanings is explained by Srila Prabhupada in that 10-8. And before Krishna appears in our heart, first these six demons may appear. So lust may come in our heart, or pride can come in our heart. It may happen that as you engage in spiritual life, you can think that I am a yogi, I can do any damn thing. Yes, or I can, like one person collected, 200 something, Rolls Royces. So, greed. Or some other, so these six enemies. So they come before Krishna. Because by bhakti, yoga, you get special power. And therefore, you can actually, you become attractive, so you can indulge your lust. You become, you can get some authority, so you can indulge your anger. You can get some donations, so you can indulge in your greed, or mada, pride. You know, Bhakti Yoga gives so many blessings, and we can be attacked. You know, when we have nothing, then you know, then maybe not much chance to practice. You know, to be. You know, if we are small, then if you don't have much, okay, how much greed we can manifest? But when things, so many blessings are coming, we can actually indulge in these negative qualities. But Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says, Kamsa personifies Bhakti Yogi's healthy fear of material existence. And so when from inside lust comes, anger comes, greed comes, or pride comes, a devotee immediately realizes, uh-oh, danger. I can get bound by the material nature. So therefore, I should follow my Guru Maharaj. I should follow the spiritual principles. I should live pure life. And this kamsa kills these negative qualities. So fear, healthy fear, not neurotic or psychotic fear, but healthy fear of material existence, material bondage, removes the negative qualities. That's Prabhupada's purport from 10 to 8. So in this way you can see that even, this is the irony, that the demon removes the obstacles for Krishna's appearance, and then first Krishna's brother Balaram appears, and then Krishna appears as the eighth child of Devaki, and he grows up in Vrindavan. This whole story in the 10th canto, and Kamsa is, first he's suspicious, then he knows better and better that this is Krishna. So he sends many powerful demons to kill Krishna in Vrindavan. He sends the tornado demon. He sends a powerful bull demon. Or some other, all kinds, you know, some witch putana. He's Krishna's uncle. So Uddhava says they are like, you know, like uncle, Who had an uncle or an aunt in your childhood who sent you some, who gave you toys, some gifts, presents? Yeah. So this is what uncles are there for, right? To give you candy and toys. There is an Indian saying that blind uncle is better than no uncle. Because still he gives you something. I know, till today, every time I visit my city in West Ukraine, Lviv, then my aunts and uncles, they call and say, how are you? When they come and they always try to bring something, you know, some t-shirt, sweater, money or, you know, something. That's natural for an uncle or an aunt. Yeah? So if you're also an uncle or an aunt, you can... Kamsa was Krishna's uncle. And Uddhava says that the demons he was sending to kill Krishna were like this tornado, Trinavarta. If you want to take a helicopter ride and look at Ljubljana from the air, or, you know, take a balloon, going up in a balloon, then you have to pay, I don't know, for helicopter, a lot of money. For balloon, I don't know, what's the price? 50 euros, 60 euros, also some, you know. But Krishna had it arranged by the uncle. So, you know, this tornado comes and Krishna is lifted into the air and Krishna is flying through the air and seeing all Vrindavan, Rajamandala. And then, you know what children do when they played with the toy enough? You know, then they break it. So then these demons, Krishna played with these demons and then he kills these demons and Kamsa sends another toy. Krishna also used these demons as an alarm clock, because they were playing with the cowherd boys and they wouldn't stop. They had so much fun. They couldn't stop for lunch. They like children always, you know. Did you have this experience in that childhood? You don't want to go to take lunch and you're just playing and playing, yes? And parents are saying, again, you're playing, you didn't eat, or they could go and call you. Krishna had the same problem. So therefore, it was arranged that a demon would come and, there was a fight. But then Krishna would kill the demon, and then the boys, the game is already stopped. So then the boys say, it's lunchtime. Okay, let's have a lunch. So they have a lunch. So they were, you know, performing certain useful function in Krishna's pastimes. There's a lot we can discuss about these demons, but the point is that Kamsa, ironically, did everything to fasten his death, to bring his death faster, and to remove obstacles for Krishna and devotees. And this is one of the... So these are the secrets of Krishna's birth and activity. The secret of Krishna's birth is that he does not have a material birth. He does not have a material birth. He's not like us. He's not forced to take birth. And the secret of his activity is that he does not have a material activity. When he acts, that's not an action like our action. There's no ego or material goal or a need to do something. He doesn't have to come here. He doesn't have to fight any of these demons. He can just snap his fingers, or he can just think, and Kamsa disappears, or somebody else disappears, some demon disappears. And would you choose to take birth in a prison? Krishna took birth in a prison. So it's not conditioned by the external circumstances. Krishna's birth is not a birth, it's a pastime, it's a game for our sake. And Krishna's activities, all his activities are different blessings. Like, for example, when we heard about this Trinavarta demon, then the blessing is that you will become free from an obstacle in bhakti yoga for Raja Bhakti, which is attraction to empty philosophical speculation. So even when he does these activities, it's a great blessing, and it's not work. It's not because he needs something, and he's blessing us not because he needs something from us. It's not that, you know, he has a big harvest of or he has a good warm year, and there is a lot of grass in Goloka, and there is a lot of milk from the cows in his planets, so he needs more workers. So therefore he comes and says, oh, come on, become my devotees, come to Goloka, we need some people to milk the cows. And then, verbung. He's not just trying to advertise and has a, how do you call it, verbung? How do you? Commercial campaign to enroll us, to enlist us for labor, to get more people. So these are, he doesn't need anything. He's absolute. He's complete. He's the Supreme Lord. So just by understanding this, you can be free from birth and death. Big birth and death and small birth and death. Because we die every day. Shakespeare said small death. Sleep is like a small death. And you may have this experience that you have some amazing realization. You, in the evening, you realize something. You found something. And then you think, yes, that's how I shall do. That's how to live. You are joyful, you are blissful, and then you fall full of enthusiasm, and you think, yes, now I know. That's what we will do. And anyway, it's time to go to sleep. You go to sleep, and then in the morning, you know, where you were supposed to start the new life, like who said it, that we oftentimes start our new life on Monday and finish it on Monday afternoon. Sometimes we don't even start, you know. Tomorrow never comes. Because in the morning we wake up and we are everything again. We are like a new person. Or just, you know, I have some realization and then the clouds cover the sun and then I feel no enthusiasm. And, you know, enthusiasm dies. So even in the daily life, we have births and deaths which affect us strongly. But, Krishna says, if we understand the secret of Krishna's birth and death, some aspects of which we discussed, that Krishna is unborn, he is the absolute, and his activities are not work, they are a blessing, auspicious play that he performs for blessing all of us. So when we understand this, then more and more we become free from birth and death, and we become closer and closer to Krishna. And we become able to not be defeated by the six enemies which sit inside and are lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. Instead, we are able to engage in the sweet exchange with a loving friend. Krishna is our loving friend who is inviting us to be with him and enjoy loving exchange in the spiritual world. Beginning from not Monday, not tomorrow, but now, we can reconnect ourselves with our supreme friend, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna's not birth, birth, and not work, work, ki jai. So now you know the two secrets. And would anybody like to add something or subtract something? Or Margatita Prabhu?
Krishna comes to the monarch forest, can understand Krishna's appearance, but somehow they can understand that this, like Krishna's, can be killed.
Who can understand?
The monarch forest comes.
They know that Vishnu comes, but they cannot. They know that God comes, but they think that they can kill him. Yeah, very foolish. Very foolish. They cannot deny the existence of the Supreme Person. Because, at least in those previous ages, they had personal experience. All these great demons, they could not deny his presence because from time to time he comes. And, you know, they hear the voice from the sky. You know, if somebody, what's this guy? Some atheist. Give me the, who? Okay. So, if this Dawkins were a little bit more pious, just imagine that a voice from the sky comes and says, "You fool, you're writing these books, but you will be, your happiness will be destroyed by these books." If, you know, if he hears this voice from the sky, what do you think he would do or think? Yeah, he could not deny. He would have to accept that there is something that there is somebody. At least somebody is there. Something is there. So these demons, like Kamsa, they could not deny that Vishnu exists. But why they are demons? Because they don't. Actually, this is Prabhupada says that in Prabhupada's language, when he says a rascal, sometimes it's, you know, it's not politically correct nowadays to call somebody a rascal. But when Prabhupada says a rascal, he actually means this as a fool. It's just like a compassionate statement. This person doesn't have enough intelligence. It's unintelligent. So they think that God is not the absolute. It's not absolute. It's just some super powerful entity. And he's like us. But he was very clever. And so because he was very clever, he got a good position. But now we will show him. We will get his position. You can see Hiranyakashipu in the 7th canto, like that. They have no concept of absolute person, or the personal absolute. And therefore they think that whoever is the most powerful is just an ordinary living entity like us, but in a better position. So that's why they try to kill him, or they can challenge him and so forth, which is foolish. Means wrong conceptual system in their heads. And of course, our concepts are based also on our desires and honesty. So if you're, if somebody is honest, just like today we were studying that, materialism is knowledge in passion. And ignorance is even less than materialism. So if somebody is a materialist philosophically, that's passionate, that's mode of passion, which means that if somebody is at least trying to understand something, at least searching for something, at least honest, then if even if now he has the wrong concepts, if he is looking, then he will find, like this other famous atheist, Andrew Flew. He was one of the founders of the atheism movement in the West. He was giving lectures, writing books, distributing flyers in the universities, pushing atheism, atheism, atheism. And then when the DNA, human genome, the human gene was deciphered, it took them many, many years, big project, human genome project. there are millions of formulas in each. We have billions of cells, billions of these little DNA in each cell. And it turns out that it's a whole complicated library with very sophisticated language about everything, how to create new cells, how to build other parts of the body. It's incredible. So when he, for his whole life, he was an atheist, but then when genome was deciphered, then he gave an interview. He said that I can no longer be an atheist because this, such a library cannot come up by chance. I do not believe in Christian God, but there is something or somebody that has created this. If I'm honest, I cannot say that, you know, this, you know, by chance, a big library. A big library in every cell of our body. Very sophisticated, like an academy in each cell. So he was at least honest in that regard. So if somebody is honest, he can advance in his concepts, and then he will approach proper understanding. So honesty is very important. Okay. Yes.
Knowing that their children are going to be killed, why didn't Basudev and Deva be psychopathic?
Why they did not decide to have no children? They had faith in Krishna. They knew that Krishna will definitely, if Narada says that Krishna will come as the eighth child, then Krishna will come. And he will kill, if Narada says that he will kill Kamsa, then he will kill Kamsa. So therefore, they went ahead, and for many lifetimes they wanted to serve the Lord as his parents, to have God, the absolute Lord, incarnate as their child. So they went ahead with having children, and then later when Krishna returned, came to Mathura, then Devaki asked Krishna to bring back these six children. And Krishna went, and from the lower planets he brought these six children, and out of love, Devaki, milk started flowing from her breasts. Actually, maybe somebody knows this happiness hormone, oxytocin, yeah? Correct? And so it produces milk. So if somebody is in love, then oxytocin rises. Also, it's stimulated by hugs. If you hug a devotee, but be careful, you know, men and women. Then oxytocin is produced, and you become happier. So that's why it's mentioned in the Shastra that we embrace devotees, yes? So milk started flowing from her breasts, and so she fed. She gave her milk to these six children, but because this milk, she gave milk to Krishna once before he went to Vrindavan. This was not ordinary milk, it was Krishna Prasadam. She was also not ordinary woman, right? So as soon as they drank this milk, they returned to their divine form. Curse was removed, and they no longer were lost anger. They became these demigods again, the denizens of higher planets, and then they went back to the higher planets. They returned to the higher planets. So there is a happy end in Krishna consciousness. There's always a happy end. And it's not an end. It's like a happy forever afterward. lived happily forever after. Really. in actuality. So this is Krishna consciousness. So, this is Krishna's program. Happily ever after by embracing the secrets in our heart and intelligence. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.